next presenter is Michael Fine. Michael Fine is a family physician, writer, and community organizer, and the director of the Rhode Island Department of Health. He's held leadership roles in Rhode Island's largest family practice and hospitals, and he founded Health Access RI, making low-cost primary care available to the uninsured, and the Situate Health Alliance, making Situate the nation's first community to provide primary care to all residents.
Thank you. It's a great honor to be here. I think you're going to hear, one of the great things about APHA is the many different kinds of presentations you can hear in an afternoon. So we are going to be doing a couple of different kinds. This is a health policy talk, and it really focuses on ways we can leverage the existence of a primary care delivery system to strengthen neighborhoods. I wanted to give you a little bit of a personal story by way of context. I started my professional life in the South Bronx on 167th Street and 3rd Avenue doing sweat equity housing, which gave me a pretty unique look at the way health services impact the life of folks in neighborhoods. After medical school and residency, I found myself in Sneedville, Tennessee, in the fifth poorest county in the United States. I was the only physician in a local health department, which gave me a unique opportunity to understand the way a team of people can address a population of people. But it also gave me a look at the interaction between medical services and local economic development. Hancock County was the fifth poorest county in the United States. Its two physicians who rented the hospital for $1 a year each owned over 7,000 acres and owned herds of purebred cattle in a county where the county itself was about 60 to 65% illiterate. And I went from there to starting a large community health center look-alike physician practice in Rhode Island, and got to experience the way resources can be depleted to support fee-for-service, the existing fee-for-service reimbursement system, which from my perspective continues to be a disaster. And then I ended up in Rhode Island, and I just by disclosure, as you've heard, I'm a stockholder in Health Access Rhode Island. All that's been in a blind trust for about 3 years, and I don't think it's ever made any money. And now I sit in the Department of Health, where we have about 150,000 remaining smokers. Too many unnecessary deaths a year from heart disease and stroke, from colon cancer, and from prescription and other drug overdoses. About 100 unnecessary new cases of HIV, 650 kids born to teenagers, an infant mortality rate that's twice what it should be, something like 50 to 100 avoidable deaths from flu because we manage only to immunize half of our population from influenza, and significant disparities in infant mortality, adolescent pregnancy, and life expectancy by race, geography, and physical and behavioral abilities. And the real challenge when you think about healthcare from a public health perspective is the denominator. As much as we think about the value of primary care and the value of integrating primary care and behavioral health and even public health, the real challenge for all of us is to find a way to touch every single person and address the entire denominator in Rhode Island of a state of 1 million people. In Rhode Island, we have no local health departments, so our only access to the population denominator is primary care, though we have no direct role in primary care. And primary care is itself disorganized and not population-based. So the question we asked ourselves was, is there a role for state government in designing a population-based primary care infrastructure that not only delivers population health, but also can help build the resiliency and build the integrity of neighborhoods. And our answer was something we call neighborhood health stations and the primary care trust. I'm going to take a moment to talk about both. So first, what's a neighborhood health station? It is, in our view, a place-based, bigger than medical practice, a patient-centered medical home, if you will, on steroids. But place-based in the sense of one for every 10 to 15,000 people, so that every single Rhode Islander has access to this kind of primary care, so that we can touch the denominator. A neighborhood health station needs to be focused on local expertise, local collaboration, local action, and local advocacy. And a neighborhood health station, as distinct from the way primary care practice works in the United States today, becomes responsible for improving the public health outcomes of one specific community. So it's a primary care practice that's also a public health practice, something we've never seen in the United States. Now, what I'm describing here is not unusual around the world. It's just unusual in the United States, and that's the potential opportunity. Neighborhood health stations, in our view, are population-focused, providing 90% of the services that each community needs, and doing that so that 90% of the people in every community are touched by their local neighborhood health station. Interdisciplinary, including physicians, nurse practitioners, nurses, the usual panoply of health services delivery folk, but including also physical therapists and psychologists and social workers and dentists and substance abuse counselors and nutritionists and nurse and lay midwives and community health workers and home health nurses and aides and EMTs and paramedics. One team of people taking care of one community of people and touching every single person in that place, touching every single person in that neighborhood. Open from 8 o'clock in the morning till 8 at night and open on weekends. In Rhode Island, 44% of emergency department utilization is ambulatory sensitive. We think that happens because we don't have a healthcare system. And so people have become used to going to the emergency department only because there is no real delivery system. Now, most people, when they hear about this, think it's impossible and think there's no way to fund it. But we think we have an approach. And that's the Rhode Island Primary Care Trust. Rhode Island Primary Care Trust, as we proposed it, is a 501c3 or quasi-public organization that becomes responsible for paying all primary care services, for consolidating all the existing funds flow for primary care into one place, and then paying for all the primary care for every single Rhode Islander from that one place. In most cases, that means capitation. In some cases, practices that still want to exist the way they always did ought to be able to continue as fee-for-service, but even for those practices, it means simplified paperwork and billing and probably a somewhere between 15 and 30% reduction in overhead, just because the multiplicity of payers goes away. In Rhode Island, aggregating that funding is more than $600 million a year, and that gives us considerable ability to do the next most important role of a primary care trust, which is to build out the primary care infrastructure. You'll remember the map I showed you of Rhode Island with one neighborhood health station for every place. One of the real challenges we all face is that no one's responsible for getting that infrastructure built. The primary care trust becomes that organization, doing location planning and development, primary care policy and organization, and workforce planning and development, so that there's one entity able to pull together the resources that are necessary to train people from Rhode Island's communities to be Rhode Island's primary care workforce. Now, we believe that primary care, that neighborhood health stations would be paid for four key functions: for open access and extended hours, for breadth of services, for quality assurance and quality improvement for public health outcomes and for population penetration. That is, making sure that every single person in that community is touched by each neighborhood health station. Now, what can neighborhood health stations do for Rhode Island? Obviously, be available to and attend to the needs of every community. Provide primary care and population health for every community. Prevent unnecessary hospital and emergency department utilization. Thoroughly integrate care so that there's one team of people taking care of one population of people. Improve outcomes and eliminate administrative waste. And we think this gives us a place to stand to reduce smoking prevalence and reduce infant mortality and reduce adolescent pregnancy and improve immunization rates and improve substance abuse treatment and reduce the rates of heart disease and stroke and reduce the prevalence of obesity. We have come reasonably far together in this grand collaboration that exists between the medical services marketplace and public health, but there's no natural way for us to get beyond where we are now unless we do something different. And this, for us, is something different. And at the same time, then begin to achieve cost savings that can be directed to the things that really matter for neighborhoods and communities. And those things are education, housing, environment, public transportation, substance abuse, treatment, income equality, and social capital. Those are the things that we have no place to stand to address. This gives us a place to stand. And for this session, it means we can work together to improve both the local and Rhode Island economy. Because when you have an infrastructure like this, you actually can hope to reduce healthcare cost, to attract businesses and provide jobs, and to contribute to local economic development. Each neighborhood health station, as we've worked the numbers, generates $6 to $18 million of local employment, and by multiplier effect, throws off $25 to $30 million in local economic activity for each community of 10,000 people. One of the things few Americans have done is do a little interesting math. And that interesting math is that for every community of 10,000 people, every community of 10,000 people spends about $80 million on healthcare services. And most of that $80 million goes right out of the community and into the pockets of others. And this is a way to begin to reverse that trend. So just to give you a feel for where we are from a political perspective, we have just finished a legislative study commission which asked us to create a pilot for the integration of primary care and behavioral health and health promotion, actually asked us to pilot this model. We've had two resolutions requiring the Department of Health to do the same thing. And we've done something else that is a really powerful model for how to do this, how to achieve the funding model going forward. Rhode Island is one of the few universal vaccine purchase states in the United States. We buy vaccine for every single Rhode Islander, and we give it out to providers to administer. We use money that we obtain from health plans in a capitated way. So we collect all the money, we buy all the vaccine, we distribute all the vaccine, and we are traditionally among the three best immunized states in the United States. That funding model is exactly the funding model that we can use to go forward in building the primary care trust. And so we worked to update that funding model in the last legislative session so that we include not only classic insurers, but also self-insured employers, so that we'll have a funds flow from every single person, and then we have a model we can duplicate when we're ready for the primary care trust. So how do we get from here to there? We are in discussions with three community health centers to convert them to neighborhood health stations. We have arrangements with our insurers so that if we can show return on investment after 3 years of running community health centers as neighborhood health stations, that they will flip to capitation. And once we have three community health centers, neighborhood health stations working in a capitated way, we think we will have the evidence that we need to interest the legislature in moving to the full primary care trust model. We've been talking to a number of Rhode Island communities. Miguel Angeloni, who's there, sitting right here in the audience, has been coordinating those discussions. But here's this slide gives you a really good picture of how community and neighborhood discussions, how well they can go, and what kind of collaborations can be built around the neighborhood health station model. To your immediate right, you see the director, chair of the Department of Family Medicine, Ned Brown. After that's a funny bald guy. After that is Congressman David Cicilline. Next to Congressman Cicilline is the president of Memorial Hospital. Next to the president of Memorial Hospital is the mayor of Central Falls. And then a number of others, including the chief operating officer of the Rhode Island Council of Churches. This collaboration came together to build the first neighborhood health station in the United States. And this collaboration is, I think, reasonably likely to be successful. But that's the kind of neighborhood resilience that can be built in one small city, in this case of about 18,000 people, to put a neighborhood health station together. We've worked with many others around the state to build this collaboration. Actually, the picture you saw was of us painting a school-based health center. That is the first step in our creation of the first neighborhood health station in the United States. So we've worked with many organizations. We've worked with lots of national health policy experts, some of whom are here. We are going forward with further collaboration, finding grant funding. We actually have put funding for the conversion of community health centers to neighborhood health stations in the department's budget. And if we can keep it there this year, we will see that conversion in the next year. So in closing, the question is primary care for all Rhode Islanders really possible? Is neighborhood resilience possible to build off the existing flow of primary care and other funding? I think the answer comes to me from Bernie Lown, who said, if you see the invisible, you can do the impossible. Thank you.